Tomorrow is the 71st anniversary of the fall of Corregidor. It happened on May 6, 1942. And with that surrender, the battle between the combined U.S.-Filipino forces on the one side and the Japanese Imperial Army ended, at least the initial phase. The guerrilla campaign would still continue, and in fact with some significant gains, but the initial phase of the formal war was lost. And yet, even though it was formally an act of surrender, there is reason to glory in the Bataan and Corregidor battles. Historians and experts agree that because our forces held for so long, unexpectedly to the Japanese, their war calendar was jeopardized. And with that, Australia was spared. And you know that MacArthur went to Australia when he escaped from the Japanese forces, and it was in Australia that he declared those famous words, "I shall return." Kaya dahil nagtiis ng gusto ang ating mga Persa, bagamat sumuko rin kinahulihan, ay isa ito sa mga tinuturing na dahilan na nagwagi ang Allied forces, nakabawi, ay dahil sa pagtitiis ng ating mga Persa. But you ask, why did Filipino and American forces managed to hold for so long when they had very little in terms of weaponry, in terms of logistics? Well, one significant answer is the comradeship of brothers in arms. Yung pagsasama ng mga kawal bilang mga magkakapatid sa kanilang sandata, there is in company a preserving blessing. Even in times of struggle, mahirap magtiis ng mag-isa. Pero kapag may mga kasama ka sa pagtitiis, ay mas nakakayang tiisin. At ito ang isang paliwanag sa ganitong punto ng kasaysayan. Now, Paul could count on several comrades in his missionary labor. They were companions in his struggle. And we began this series on those people that touched his life. They are part of his story. There are lessons we can draw. And we are drawing lessons that remain relevant to the ministry and mission of the church today. There is no more Apostle Paul in the church, but the ministry and mission of the word perpetuate. And what sort of people touched and contributed to the ministry and mission of Paul are the same people that we still need today. No more Apostle Paul, but we can still have a Priscilla and Aquila partnership where Christian availability is the major virtue that they demonstrated. We can still have a Silas whose willingness to suffer reminds us of the call of commitment to ministry. We can still have a Luke, the beloved physician, whose persevering company provides strength for Paul's ministry. And from Timothy, if Paul were Batman, I said Timothy would be the Robin. His genuine concern for the brethren made him Paul's trusted confident. Well, we consider today someone who had a fluctuating relationship with the Apostle Paul, but a very important one, Barnabas. Turn your Bibles again, and I ask you to bear with me as I read a number of passages, all in the book of Acts. First is Acts chapter 4, 33 to 37. Acts 4, 33 to 37. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. From there, would you turn to chapter 9, verses 23 to 28. Acts chapter 9, verses 23 to 28. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. Just one last passage is Acts 15. Acts 15, and we'll read from verse 35 to verse 41. Acts 15, 35 to 41. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the church. Now I am skipping the more unflattering passage about Barnabas, where Apostle Paul narrates that sorry incident in Antioch. I want to accentuate the positive character of Barnabas. And besides, we had a series on Barnabas last year, so I think I can be excused skipping that. Barnabas, as we know, is not the original name of this individual who was called Joseph. Barnabas was a name endowed by no less than the apostles. Yung pangalan niyang Barnabas ay hindi original sa kanya. Ito ay ibinigay mismo ng mga apostol sa lalaking si Joseph. And the name is variously translated as son of encouragement or son of consolation or son of comfort. So based on the three incidents I have chosen, Barnabas' impact by being an encourager, by being a comforter, is truly immeasurable. And that is my message this afternoon. Christian encouragement has an immeasurable impact upon the ministry. Ang pagpapalakas na Kristiyano o pagpapalakas loob na Kristiyano ay may hindi masukat na dating sa ministeryo. Christian encouragement has an immeasurable impact upon the ministry. I use the word immeasurable to point out the unquantifiable impact of encouragement. When you receive teaching, you can at least tell what you have learned or what else is not clear. Encouragement is of the type that there is no way to measure what it does. It has both immediate and long-term impact. Yan ang nagagawa ng pagpapalakas loob. Hindi mo masukat. Hindi mo malaman kung anong maaaring gawin sa iyo ng nagpapalakas ng loob mo, at sa pamamagitan ng kanyang pagpapalakas ng loob, maaring madali, daglian ang dating, maaring may dadalhin ka hanggang sa malayong hinaharap. This is what encouragement does. And one adjective, however, that I use is Christian encouragement. Yes, there are personalities who are good encouragers, good motivators, and I'm not talking about that now. I'm not talking about good pep talk or good motivation. I'm talking of that kind of encouragement rooted in Christian teaching, rooted in Christian motives. And one important character that is required of Christian encouragement is what we have in Barnabas, his sensitivity. That's why I call this Barnabas character sensitive comforter. In the narratives I chose, there are three conditions that called forth the sensitive comforting ministry of Barnabas. First is privation. Nangailangan. Second is rejection. Natanggihan. And third is desertion, na iwanan. Privation, rejection, desertion. In all three situations, Barnabas was there to comfort. Barnabas was there to encourage. First of all, then, in times of privation. The very first mention of Barnabas that gave the instance when the apostles gave him his name is the crisis in Jerusalem. After thousands were baptized on Pentecost, followed by thousands more, we can assume that many of them stayed in Jerusalem in order to receive more teaching. And you know what that would create? Needs. Marami ang nanatili sa Jerusalem, siguro'y para mas lalo pang matutunan ang pananampalatayang Kristiyano. At libo-libo yan. At sa ganyang sitwasyon, alam mo ang mangyayari, maraming pangangailangan. And in a voluntary fashion, people who had the means gave generously. We are told that landowners sold their land and the proceeds of the sale were given to the apostles, presumably to distribute the funding necessary. And there was fund that met all the needs. But Barnabas was singled out. He sold a field that he owned and he gave the money to the apostles for the needy. Two words are used here. For those who first sold their land, they gave the proceeds. In the case of Barnabas, he sold his land and he gave the money. The wholesale was given to the apostles. What sensitivity. Here we learn that Christian sensitivity to needs make the act of giving a ministry of encouragement. Kung tayo ay may pagkasensitibong Kristiyano sa nangangailangan, yung pagbibigay ay nagiging gawa ng pagpapalakas loob. All beyond the meeting of needs, when someone exercises sensitive comforting, the very act of giving is in and of itself an act of encouragement. Now, was it not more consistent, you see, in the act of Barnabas? Why didn't the apostles call him son of generosity? He would have deserved that. After all, he gave all the money. But what the apostles saw was again not so much the material funding, not the monetary amount. What they saw was a man of encouragement. It encouraged the brethren. His giving went beyond the virtue of generosity or liberality. It was an act of sympathizing with needs. In fact, there are many words in Greek the apostles could have chosen for the title to recognize Barnabas's comfort. They chose the word which has at its root the meaning of along your side. Charles Spurgeon uses the translation the alongsider. And that's a good description of Barnabas. He was not simply looking from a remote distance, gave away his money, and that's it. That's easy to do. Christian encouragement, you see, is sharing the situation, sharing the status, feeling the needs, empathizing. It's not that he simply looked at the needs and sent help from afar. It is like the Lord Jesus, of whom we are told He dwelt among us. Nanahan siya sa kalagitnaan natin. That is what makes it Christian. It is so like the incarnate Savior. He gave Himself. He gave the most precious that He could give. He gave His life for redemption. And that, my friend, is what you need. Yan ang kailangan mo na ibinigay ng Diyos. Maaaring naghahanap ka ng pananalapi, naghahanap ka ng kalusugan, naghahanap ka ng mga solusyon sa iyong suliranin. Ang pinakamahalaga na dapat mong hanapin ay kaligtasang ibinigay ng Diyos sa katauhan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. And that becomes a model for Christians to emulate. And this is what Barnabas did. Henry Ford, as we know, was the inventor of the automobile. And he also invented the first car for the masses. But not only that, not as well known is that Henry Ford was the first employer to give high wages to his laborers, to his employees. He did not look at the profit as a capitalist would and hoard it for himself. He gave it away. And that is something which not only meets the need, it encourages, it motivates. And there is a challenge to us. Let your giving for the cause of the ministry be an act of encouragement to the needy. Such giving was recognized by Jesus when he compared the widow's mite to the extra giving of the rich givers when he visited the temple. And you remember what he said of the widow, Luke 21:3. Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on. By absolute comparison, a mite would be nothing compared to the big giving by the rich. But in the sensitive eyes of Jesus, it was more. It encouraged more than the act of meeting the need. The act of benevolence to those in need is first of all to be an act of the heart before the giving of the hand. That's what John said, 1 John 3:17. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart. Hindi yung palad ang isinasara. Ang inaasahan ni Juan kapag may nakita kang pangangailangan ng kapatid, ang una mong bubuksan bago ang iyong bulsa, bago ang iyong pitaka, ay ang iyong puso. That's encouragement. Let the recipient first feel your love before your money or whatever help you give. How was it possible for the missionary journey of Paul to have reached so extensively to the Roman Empire? Because then Christians were a giving people. They were giving as an act of sensitivity to the needy. And the call for us here is be a Barnabas. He had a possession. He did not fence it for his own. He thought of church ministry. Meron siyang ari-arian, meron siyang lupain. Hindi niya inangkin lang na ito'y para sa kanya at siya'y may karapatan dito. Naisip niya ang ministeryo, naisip niya ang misyon, naisip niya ang mga kapatiran. A pastor once looked at a note coming from a girl in an envelope of her tithe. Unfortunately, the girl misspelled tithe and she put it, "This is my thieving money." Instead of my tithing money, it becomes thieving money. Well, for some of those who give in church, you can call it that, in the sense that there is miserliness, no liberality. And the reason is not because they can't count. The reason is because there is no sensitivity. They do not give to comfort, to encourage. That's what Barnabas did. And let that challenge us. The first instance where his sensitive comfort was felt was in times of privation. The second was in a time of rejection. Sa panahon na natanggihan. At sino ang natanggihan? Si Pablo. Paul, at this point still known as Saul, tried to join the disciples in Jerusalem, but his bad reputation preceded him. Of course, they knew Saul, the persecutor, the man who has committed men and women in prison. And now he wants to join the church. He could be a spy, for all I care. And that must be the thought that members in the Jerusalem church must have entertained. You cannot blame them. The reputation of Paul was a persecutor, and they were suspicious of his motives. They distrusted his intentions until Barnabas vouched for him. Here we learn that Christian sensitivity appreciates what grace has done on individual sinners. Yung ministeryo ng pagpapalakas ng loob ay nakikita yung nagawa ng biyaya sa isang makasalanan. Oo, si Saulo ay isang taga-usig. Oo, si Saulo ay malupit dahil sa kanyang panatikong pananampalataya. Ngunit nakita ni Barnabas kung paano siyang binago ng biyaya ng Diyos. That's what comfort does. It believes in the grace of God, that God's grace abounds more where sin abounded. A wicked reputation is hard to discard. And Paul, as a persecutor, would have been suspected of evil intents. So when Paul came to the church, the reaction was they were all afraid of him. The word denotes the sense of fleeing. Gusto nilang tumakbo. Ay, hindi ko alam, baka isang umaga nag-attend bigla si Saul sa morning service ng Jerusalem Church at yung kanyang unang natabihan ay baka lumayo, baka lumipat, baka akong usigin ito. And you can sense, as Paul must have sensed the rejection. He was there trying to expect a welcome and he was being rejected. His Christian profession was rejected. The Jerusalem Christians must have thought him impossible. Anybody but Saul of Tarsus. But Barnabas came, and Luke uses a graphic word. He says, he took him. It literally means he took possession of him. Yung tinatanggi, kumpara sa bagay ay tinatapon, kinuha ni Barnabas. It's like believing in the cost of recycling. That's what grace does. Grace recycles into usefulness what was discarded by others. But again, isn't that what the Lord Jesus has done? It reminds us of Hebrews 2:11. He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Think of your sin. Think of the depravity of your heart. And think of the holiness of Christ. Can you match the two? Christ as holy in our line of thinking should be ashamed of me. By grace, Christ is not ashamed to call them brethren. This again is what comfort does. This is encouragement. Grace does not hesitate because of the mess you have made of your life. It dares to work on sinners. And if we appreciate the power of grace, it should equip us to be sensitive to its working on sinners. If your eyes are full of suspicion and full of condemnation, when you see people you think to be sinners, you don't know of grace. Abraham Lincoln lost so many elections. I mean, you name an office that he tried to run in, he lost. And the last office he ran for, president, and remarkably, he won. And today is considered one of the greatest. A loser turning into the greatest president. That's what grace does. Therefore, let us be challenged. Believe in the message and power of grace to reach out to the rejects of moral religion. Our gospel message is not for members of the moral elite, the law-doers and self-righteous. As we heard this morning, the message is for sinners. Ang mensahe ay para sa mga katulad ni Mateo na nakaupo sa tanggapan ng kasalanan. Ngunit tinawag ni Jesus, ganun kang tinatawag. At tayo bilang mga Kristiyano, ito ang paniwalaan natin, ang kapangyarihan ng biyaya. And if we believe in that gospel, we should take the ill-reputed as Barnabas took Saul and owned him as a grace object. This is the gospel that Paul took to the Roman Empire with such triumph. And he must have thought back of those sad days when he felt rejected and Barnabas took possession of him. This is the gospel that our church carries. Then let it be a fellowship that accepts the rejected because grace works on them. Do we believe what we sang? Yes, God is good. And yet every time we apply suspicion and condemnation on a fellow believer, you are not saying, yes, God is good. God is good, and He mentions all those blessings in nature. But last of all, the writer John Gurney said, but most for thy redeeming blood. That's what grace can do to the worst rejects. And finally, desertion. Ang maiwanan. After the Jerusalem Council, there was a sad falling out between Paul and Barnabas. Hindi nagkasundo ang dalawang higanting ito ng misyon, si Pablo at si Bernabe. Anong dahilan? Nag-away sila, nagtalo sila tungkol kay John Mark. Well, you know the story. John Mark left them in Pamphylia when the work became rough. And to Paul's point of view, you cannot compromise the work. This is too important to bring someone who will abandon us. So what did Paul do? He had to stick to his work of mission and had to desert John Mark and again enter Barnabas. But what we learn here is that Christian sensitivity holds on to the prospect of recovery and growth amidst failure. Kung meron kang sensitibong pagpapalakas ng loob, humawa ka sa paniniwala na maging ang nabigo, maging ang bumagsak, ay maaring makapanumbalik at lumago. This is what Barnabas believed of John Mark. Now, I always refuse to take sides between Paul and Barnabas on this issue. Both have a point worth defending. For Paul, it's the work. It's the importance of the mission. But let us look at this from the perspective of Barnabas. For one, he has a family obligation that Paul would not feel. Remember, Barnabas was John Mark's cousin. And back in those days, to be a cousin is almost to be a sibling. Barnabas, being a cousin of John Mark, he felt that family obligation. But there is a more personal reason. At this point, the Antioch incident was past. Remember the Antioch incident? When Paul had to rebuke no less than Peter, including Barnabas. In other words, Barnabas knew what it was to fall down. Barnabas knew what it was to stumble down. And now he saw his cousin stumbled in Pamphylia, and he would not desert him. So it is not surprising that Barnabas would demonstrate a more forbearing attitude to the failure of John Mark. When you know your own failings, you become forbearing and charitable to the failings of others. It is those who think of themselves like perfect who will be unforbearing, who will be condemning. There is a program on Sky Cable. I love watching when I have the time. The title of the program is Kings of Restoration. The client would bring to these people, this group of skilled workers, anything that's already mangled to pieces beyond recognition. And they want it back to the original. And these skilled workers will do everything they could, and sometimes the product is even better than the original. And I have seen clients who became emotional because it brings back memories when they see the restored thing. Well, that's what the ministry of encouragement does. It looks at a mangled piece and then sees something that can be made out of it. You know that one of my favorite quotes is that of Robert Kennedy, who said, "People see things that are and ask why. I dream of things that are not and ask why not." And when you look at a person who has stumbled, don't say the end to that person. there is a prospect of grace, and that is what encouragement does. So let us be challenged. Be a lifting hand to the stumbled ones as an essential part of our gospel mission. No less than Paul said this. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Yes, part of the message is condemnation, but bigger still is redemption. And don't forget, the first gospel written was the gospel of Mark. Before Matthew or Luke or John, the first written gospel is the gospel of Mark. And why did a Mark write the first gospel? When he stumbled, there was a Barnabas to lift him up. Humanly speaking, there would have been no gospel of Mark had it not been for that Barnabas, who was a son of encouragement to him. David Brainerd spent his last days in the house of Jonathan Edwards, and it was Jonathan Edwards who would publish Brainerd's diaries. This David Brainerd was once kicked out from Yale because of a misbehavior, and yet he would still end up as one of our greatest missionary stories because somebody lifted him up when he was stumbled. You do not need to be a preacher like Paul. Just be an encourager like Barnabas, and the impact is immeasurable. But where do we go back for a model? We go back to the Lord Jesus Christ, as our last song puts it. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. And don't our hearts respond to the beautiful chorus, from sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. And just because Jesus did that to us, let us be prepared to be a Barnabas to anyone in need, to anyone feeling rejected, to anyone who is feeling deserted. Be a Barnabas to your brethren. Let's close in prayer. O nakilala naming Diyos sa tama, tunay ngang pinapasalamatan ka namin sa katauhan ni Barnabas na nagpapakita ng isang taong sensitibo na handa sa pagbibigay ng kaaliwan ng pagpapalakas ng loob. At ito ay isang pangangailangan sa iglesia, isang pangangailangan sa ministeryo at sa misyon. Kaya tulungan mo kami na matularan siya, ngunit pagtutulad na nakabatay sa Kristiyanong biyaya, sa Kristiyanong prinsipyo, may we learn that Christian encouragement has that immeasurable impact upon the ministry. Such sensitivity is needed in times of privation. Our giving should not be a plain act of sharing substance. It must be an act of opening our hearts, sharing and sympathizing with those in need, so that our giving may truly be an act of encouragement. May we be sensitive to those who are rejected by those who have not seen the work of grace, such as in the life of the Apostle Paul. And there was Barnabas again, vouching for Paul, taking possession of him. Where others had discarded him, Barnabas saw a project of grace. May we have the same sensitivity to the fact that grace is able to work more abundantly than the ability of sin to destroy. So grant that we may have such a stance, even to those who are discarded by moral religion, that we may see what grace can do. And help us, Lord, to have that sensitivity for those who are deserted because they have stumbled, may we be like Barnabas, who did not give up on John Mark. And indeed, John Mark would himself be commended by the apostle as profitable for ministry. And John Mark would later write the first written gospel in the scripture. And that certainly, humanly speaking, goes back to the fact that Barnabas did not give up on him. Barnabas became a lifting hand to a stumbled John Mark. And may we be the same, just as Jesus did to us. He lifted us up, even though we may never be able to explain the depths of grace, but we may certainly emulate that spirit of lifting the fallen, lifting the stumbled. And we never know what prospect can yet be, because we have extended comfort and encouragement to the fallen one. So be with us as a church, be with us as Christians, to challenge us to become sensitive comforters like Barnabas. And may we do so because of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray all these things. Amen.